out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. Thursday, which means it's tipping time on the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian. Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times, is with me. Quarters, let's see if we can tip a few for round 17.
Well, hoping to redeem myself, Duff. It was a very poor week last week. Four winners, and as you know, I tipped Freo. So pants around the ankles, hoping to lift them up this week.
But I think pants thrown on the roof by a neighbour in that situation.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, really, you know.
I gave them a chance. I actually honestly gave them a chance, and they were just, that was their...
It was their
horrible,
worst performance
horrible
for the
game
year.
For the year. Yeah.
It was, yeah,
let's hope it is their low point, because if they go any lower than that, then Ross might be in a bit of trouble. Ross Lyon has dominated the headlines this week, Mark.
Yeah, he has. Interestingly enough, the roller coaster of an AFL coach. About a week or so ago, people were saying, "Well, should they re-sign him early and extend his contract out?" And now we're talking about, you know, whether he should be sacked or not. Interestingly enough, I reckon, you know, one thing I reckon they didn't do well here, Freo, was I think that when you have a situation like that, your messaging to your members, you've got to be really careful about it. And I think while Ross sent the message, you know, we don't accept that, that was, you know, was an unacceptable performance, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes Ross can be a little bit flippant with the way he speaks. And I think that doesn't cut well with a group of members who are getting it in the neck from their Eagles supporters for the ninth time in a row.
Well, that's always been the knock on Ross Lyon, from his St Kilda days to his Fremantle days. Has softened up a little bit earlier this year. We've seen the cuddly side to Ross, but clearly there were some grim looks, as there should have been after that performance.
But I also think that, you know, in a situation like that, Quarters, it's not just about Ross. It's about the president and the CEO and the football manager saying to Ross, before he even gets into that post-match press conference, we need to be very clear about what we're saying to our members after a performance like this. There is going to be anger. There is going to be frustration. There is going to be high emotion. We need to send a clear signal that we don't accept that, and we're not being, you know, flippant about it. I think the only person really that hit the mark on that, I think, this week was probably Peter Bell.
Yeah.
On 6PR on Monday, who basically said, you know, the criticism of us is absolutely valid.
And unfortunately for Fremantle, as you say, it is magnified in a derby.
Yeah, so that old saying that coaches have, you know, it's never as good, never as bad in a derby,
it is
better and worse.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got no doubt about that. I think because the fans bounce off each other and they react to that. And plus, I remember when Fremantle were on a winning derby run. And it was probably, I think, 2012 to 2015. I think they won six in a row. There's a guy who used to come and clean our pool at home. And he was starting to hide from his Docker friends before and after derbies. And he just sort of said, you know, there was a derby coming up. And I think it was the one they actually won in 2015 where they broke the winning run. And I said, oh, I think you're a chance in this one. And he said, oh, I'm just not going to watch. I just can't. I can't face
they
my Docker mates.
They are a funny lot, footy supporters, aren't
they? They are,
And we're all very superstitious, and we, you know, it's amazing what a game of football does to us. It can ruin your day. If I'm watching a game of footy on a Sunday morning, the Hawks cop a hiding. It sets me. I'm not right for the rest of the day, though. I'm not saying it wrecks my day, but I'm just not 100%.
Do you know what stuffs me up?
What
if I don't get the Friday night tip?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
I just...
And you just go into Saturday thinking, what's going to happen here?
I go to bed with a very sour taste in my mouth.
And you've got a bit
mouth.
Of a bounce in your step on the Saturday morning, haven't you? Because at least you got one.
That's
You're
right.
not going to be running around the pool table with your pants down. You
no,
know, you've got
correct.
One at least. So
yeah.
It's a funny old game. We love it, though.
Yep.
We love it.
So, I think our take on the Ross Lyon situation is, provided that they can show that that's an anomaly, provided they can play solidly through to the end of the season, as they have played for most of the season, you know, regardless of the win-loss between now and the end of the season, then I think the board will look at that and they'll say, well, okay, we've made progress. If they start getting hiding after hiding after hiding, then, you know, who knows what can happen.
The metrics for Ross were looking good. Let's just forget last Saturday. Let's forget it. Prior to that, that was just under 12 points a game was their average losing margin. They compare that to the 50 last year. So they've lowered that, which is what we said at the start of the year. Eight wins and you make those losses more competitive and that's a step forward. So I still think they've taken a step forward, no question. But you're right, it's really important. I think at the minimum requirement on Saturday at Launceston is a competitive loss, minimum requirement. If it's a hiding, then the pressure is going to build, as it should, because it's a tough caper. And look, Freo fans have been very patient. Yes, there was a bit of hysteria around this week, as there always is. But, you know, I think if they can back it up with some solid performances, then they'll be, you know, they can still get a lot from this year, Freo, if not play finals.
And the other thing is, well, if they win, they're back in the eight.
Yeah.
So that's how narrow the margins are this year. But the other thing is if they do lose, let's not have it because of the same symptoms that we've seen so often, which is poor skill level.
But I'm not sure if you can turn that around overnight, Duff. You can't. So this is something to address. Yes, you can start addressing it now, but this is a post-season pre-season.
This should have been addressed 3 years ago, Glenn.
It's a post-season pre-season thing.
Yeah, well, it should have been addressed 3 years ago. So really, if he does get into trouble, and here's hoping he doesn't, because I've never been one of those, you know, sack the coach sort of, you know, sort of critics. But if he does get into trouble, there must be a part of him must think, did I put a high enough priority on addressing my team's skills? And you know what? He's not the only club. He's not the only person at the club who should be wondering that. Because in 2016, when the whole thing went guts up for Freo early in the season, they got together and they started talking about what the club needed to do. And they did it as a club. You know, football manager, list manager, CEO, coach, board. They agreed they had to play kids. They agreed they had to go into a rebuild. They had to clean out their list and they had to get games into younger players. So if that's a KPI for the coach and that is set at a club level, not just by the coach, why can't someone at the club further up the food chain from the coach say, we need to address our skill. We need to make it a priority in our program. And one of your KPIs for next year is going to be we need to see an improved skill level.
Yeah, and there are metrics for that, you know. The problem is, I guess, is when you're a systems-based team, when you're a structure-based team. And you meet a side that matches you in that area but is higher skill, where do you go from there?
Exactly.
You go nowhere. You can't fall back on your skills. So, you know, that's what the Eagles have showed us time and again. Yeah, you know, they don't have to dominate position. They just have to use the ball well.
And I think they're fantastic at it. And as we've said a number of times on this show this year, when, you know, we only go to see two teams train in Western Australia. When we go to see West Coast train, the chances are we'll see a skill drill. And when we go to see Fremantle train, the chances are we'll see a structure drill. Mm. And I think there needs to be a clear shift in the thinking. And maybe it's worth, you know, even Fremantle as a group, as a hierarchy, to go and watch West Coast train in the sessions that the media sees them and say, well, okay, they're doing this. You know, is it worth asking the question, why aren't we doing this? Because if everyone copies the Premier, which is tends to be what happens in the AFL, why aren't we doing more of this? I think that's a worthwhile question for Fremantle to ask, because the flip side of the whole Fremantle skills are terrible thing is that it's their room for upside, isn't it? You know, if they do improve it by 5%, we will see significant improvement on the scoreboard as a result of that.
Let's tip some winners, Duff.
Righto.
Friday night, West Coast v Collingwood Optus Stadium, the classic 8-point game for the Eagles. They win this, they're two games clear of Collingwood. So, look, I'm tipping West Coast here. I think Collingwood, look, the midfield hasn't been great. To win this, they've got to wrest control of the midfield. And it was interesting, some comments from Nathan Buckley today. Mason Cox hasn't been great down in that forward line. He has to own the air, or at least halve the contest down there.
Mm.
If he can own that space and just throw his weight around, then they're half a chance. That's the only way Collingwood can win this, is resting control of the midfield. Something has to happen down in attack. And, look, I think the Eagles have the have the cattle to match them. I expect the Eagles to win, but that's Collingwood's only roll of the dice, and they've really got to do something because this season is fast getting away from them.
Well, I think it's a different set of metrics because obviously they're in the eight and Fremantle is 10th or 11th and Collingwood played in the grand final last year. But in terms of the time is short for Collingwood now, and if you said that the bare minimum for Fremantle is a competitive loss to Hawthorn in Launceston,
yep.
I think the bare minimum for Collingwood is a competitive loss over here.
Yep.
The mail is they get Taylor Adams back next week.
Yeah, well, he's as we discussed earlier in the week,
he's a big loss.
He's really critical to them, as is Jaden Stevenson, and there's a domino effect of both players not being there, and it's really hurt Collingwood. They've got a lot of depth, Collingwood, but it's interesting you lose really key players in certain areas of the ground. It can really affect you everywhere, and that's what's happened to Collingwood.
Absolutely. And the other one they may get back next week, quarters, is Jeremy Howe. I reckon...
Yeah, I think he is coming back next week. He's flagged that. He said he at a pinch, could have played this week, but they're giving him another week. So I'd expect him to play next week.
Do you reckon with a person like Jeremy Howe, coming off a calf muscle injury, putting him on a plane and sending him to play in Perth on a notoriously hard surface.
Not a great idea. No, he's not. That's why he's not playing this week.
So just a little message to the stadium people. That's when you start being factored in to team selection, your surface, that's not a great sign either.
So three losses in their past five games, Collingwood. Eagles have won the last four against Collingwood, yeah. Three of those have been at the MCG, interestingly. So, some interesting matchups here. Nick Nat v Grundy. What happens to side bottom? Does Yo go there? Of course, no Mark Hutchings still. The talk is that Duggan's not playing, so Cole comes in for him and Kennedy to return at Archie's expense.
Yeah, so obviously Josh Kennedy just automatically back in. Tommy Cole had form issues for a lot of the year and eventually found himself back in the waffle. Liam Duggan has an ankle issue coming out of the Derby, could miss up to 6 weeks. But I think the pivotal ins and outs in West Coast defence are Shannon Hearn, Jeremy McGovern, Brad Shepherd, and probably the next one will be Tommy Barras. So while Liam Duggan is an established member of their best 22 and Tommy Cole has been a person with form issues this year, I don't think that they'll be sweating bullets over Cole in for Duggan.
Here's just a left field one. Would you consider Schofield for the Dugowie factor, given his performance in the grand final? Because we've seen what happens with certain players. I think Buse, for example, and Eddie Betts. It's just certain players sometimes. It's just worth a left fielder.
Okay, well, I'll throw one back at you, which bounces off that. How much time will Jordan Dugowie spend midfield in this game, given that he's a bull, given that they struggled midfield in recent weeks, and that basically their forward line has struggled for supply? Maybe they need to put Dugowie midfield more and see if they can get it in there more and hope they can find a forward to stand up.
Well, it's a good point because, as we say, they need to rest control of that midfield if there are any chance here. So John Noble making his debut too, son of David, the Brisbane list manager. So interesting. He'll be making his debut for Collingwood Friday night. So I'm picking the Eagles. I'm going to say by about four goals.
Yeah, I'm going to say 30 points. I reckon this will be comfortable. You just want to see, a bit of venom's the wrong word, but you want to see some real grunt and enterprise from Collingwood.
Well, the big knock on Collingwood over the past 6-7 weeks has been their lack of pressure on the opposition, and you can see, and that's played out, like their goals from turnovers has dried up.
Yep.
So there's just no pressure on the opposition, and you can see Hawthorn kick 4 goals to 3-quarter time, 5 in the last quarter.
Yep.
They're allowed to waltz around and waltz in and out of tackles. So Collingwood, that's an area that I think you'll see them at least early try and stick a few of those.
Okay, moving on.
Saturday, SCG, Sydney v Carlton. Now, I've got no update at the moment. Cripps and I assume Curnow's not playing. Cripps is still a question mark.
And Marchbank out.
So Hugh Goddard to make his debut for Carlton was formerly a first rounder, delisted by St Kilda.
Yep.
For me, I think Sydney wins this game. They found form. It's at home, although the home deck for Sydney's been not such a cauldron in recent times. For me, the really interesting thing is the continued emergence of Jack Silvani. Does he remain in that tagging role? Does he get a Parker or a Kennedy? they'll give a really good nuisance of themselves. Sydney, I'll tell you one thing. Sydney wants to be well up by three-quarter time because Carlton's final terms have been really impressive under David Teague. I'm pretty comfortable with picking Sydney, I think, by three or four goals.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll pick the Swans. I think you mentioned Sydney's woes at home, but I think that was mainly early season. I think they've got a handle on that now and they're playing much more strongly.
Conversion was pretty poor against Essendon. It's in front of goal, they just missed a lot of easy shots. So this is a game they have to win if they're... I'm not saying they're playing finals, but if they want to, I think the road ahead for them is Freo away, Geelong at home, GWS away and Port away. That's the next 4 weeks after this game. So this is a game they have to win if there are any chance. And the buzz too is that Longmire, he's not far off recommitting to Sydney too. That's what we're hearing.
Well, they've got some good young players, Sydney. So it doesn't surprise me at all that John Longmire will want to stay there. He's very settled in Sydney now.
He's been there 15 years.
And he was a New South Wales boy.
He was?
Originally. Well, more border than...
Yeah, he was. He was from, I think, the Wodonga, the Albury side, from somewhere around that area. Played for the New South Wales Origins team. Team back in the day. I think that famous team that might have knocked off the Vics. Yeah. So a New South Wales boy and settled there and his family settled there. I'm not saying he still can't be enticed away because the colour of money is an amazing thing. But
Movie, that.
Yeah. I'm expecting him to hang around. So stay tuned for that one the next few weeks.
So Sydney by 20 points?
Yeah, I think about that, yeah. Hawthorn v Freo, Launceston, 1-11 in Lonnie Freo, and that one was Siren Gate, so it took him 3 days to win that game. But as we said, a competitive loss is the bare minimum here for Freo. Sandilands out, Darcy in. That was a preordained thing for Freo. They always plan to rest Sandy after his one game back. And you've got a couple of prospects who may come in or out of that side.
Yeah, Stephen Hill, they're talking about as a possible test. So Fremantle, as we speak, are at the airport. So we're not yet across whether Stephen Hill's getting on the plane or not. Ryan Niehaus was spoken about by Joel Hamling this morning as a possible in, and what we're also hearing is that Luke Ryan is very sore. So whether Luke Ryan gets on the plane or not, do not yet know. The other thing I'm hearing is that Fremantle may take 25 to Launceston, so we may still be in a little bit of doubt as to who's going to run out there. They may take a couple and see how they pull up on Friday and Saturday
morning. Not without a chance, Freo. They still have that depth in the midfield. The midfield's not been humming along all that well, but if they can win the midfield battle, which is very doable, I don't think that's a forward line that's really ominous at Hawthorn. Mitch Lewis is developing, he's growing, but it's not really a forward line with 100 points in it. So a competitive loss, I think, is very attainable. They're not without a chance of winning this, Freo, because Hawthorn is not the Hawthorn we've seen in the past. But they don't lose often down there, so I'm not prepared to pick against them. But I'm tipping that this is going to be a lot closer than people say.
Yeah, I'm thinking about 20 points, and I think if Freo gets out of it with a 20 point loss and is in the game sort of like halfway through the last quarter, that will go some way to quietening the angst. But they don't want another poor performance.
And Sicily, the player to watch here for Hawthorn's point of view, found season best form last weekend, was terrific there. One of the reasons that Hawthorn remained in the game at three-quarter time.
And the ominous thing about that quarters is that he's an interceptor. And we saw how the interceptors picked off Fremantle last week against, West Coast. Fremantle wins inside 50 count by 10 and loses the game by 91 points. So Fremantle, they need to lower their eyes. They need to spot up targets and they need to hit them inside attacking 50.
And as we said earlier in the week, the sort of bookends, Pierce at one end and Hogan at the other for Freo has really unsettled them. So they need to find something quickly. But, I think we will, if they emerge from that with a competitive loss, I think we'll say that's a bit of a tick back in the right direction.
Yeah, well, perhaps not a tick, but certainly not a cross.
It's a step in the right direction. Yeah. And they can still get a lot from this season. So.
Yeah.
On to Saturday still, Essendon v North Melbourne at Marvel. Thought long and hard about picking Essendon. Won four of their last five, the Bombers, and got hold of the Roos earlier in the year, but that was a different North Melbourne side. I have confidence in North at the moment. They've earned my trust, and so I'm not prepared to pick against them here. Zach Clark will have his hands full against one of the form ruckmen of the competition in Goldstein. There'll be two different sets of stats in this game. There'll be one on the actual pure footy stats, and the other one will be how many times Ben Cunnington whacks someone in the guts, because he's been fined three times this year already. He might be a bit gun shy this week, I think, because he is on his last warning.
I'll tell you what, if he whacks another one and doesn't get a week. And really, if he whacks another one, he should get two.
I'd say stay hit too. When he whacks them, they stay hit.
Yeah, well, he's not the most frail.
No.
He's not what Paul Keating once described as a shiver waiting for a spine to coil up, is he, Benny Cunningham? He's he's more your Midwestern Victorian lumberjack than
he is.
He's a big, strong boy from dairy country, and if he hit you, you would know you had been hit.
Your tip?
I'm going to go with Essendon.
Yeah, okay.
I just have a feeling that the Bombers will be able to get a bit of run off halfback and be able to just get the game on their terms. And
is Saad fit?
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
So
he's the key to them.
Yeah, him and McKenna. Like, they give them that real bounce and pace, don't they? But Essendon love to play quick.
But if you lose one of them, you mean you're halving that distribution.
Well, then you just shut the other one down.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the key to Essendon, really, is shut it. If you can shut that run from half back, then you're halfway to beating them. So, look, I'm prepared to stick with North. You're going with Essendon.
Close.
Gold Coast v Adelaide, Metricon, 11 losses in a row. Jack it up. The wheels are off. They look like they have put the queue in the rack, Gold Coast. It was a brave first half of the year. Very good close losses, a couple of nice wins. But let's not forget, at the start of the year, we were saying this team, a lot of people were saying they won't win a game. Mm. I didn't think that. You're always going to win a game in this competition. But it's hard to make a case for them. Adelaide were horrible in the second half against Port last week. So they'll be out to make amends and stay in touch with that top four. Their midfield was looked slow and beaten to the contest last week. So that'll be something they look to rectify. Not without talent, Adelaide. Hard to see who Gold Coast, if they do get on top in the middle, Adelaide, hard to see, you know, Walker, Jenkins. Homsch is probably just one of their only, really their only option down there. So I can't make a case for them. I'm thinking Adelaide wins this one reasonably comfortably.
Yeah, so am I.
Six goals.
I was really worried by what I saw in the first half between Gold Coast and Richmond last week. That, as you said, is a team whose season is absolutely done.
And we're taking Jack Martin and Will Powell out of that side too. Now, Martin's form hasn't been as good as it was earlier in the year.
No.
Powell's been a good player, been a consistent player for them. So he's out with a knee. Martin's had some finger surgery, so both of those players are not playing.
Yeah, well, that won't help. Martin in particular is a good inside ball winner for them. So I'm going to say 40 points, Crows, quarters.
Geelong v St Kilda, GMHBA, 7-13 against the Dogs last week. There's your result. Your Dogs have been quite irresistible lately, and a team that's building a bit of momentum. So they're always going to give you a chance. St Kilda, it's been a funny year for St Kilda. It's been they're better than I thought they'd be, but I'm just not sure what they are. You know, they're a side without any definition, in my opinion.
Mm.
They got lots of almost A-graders, but have they got many A-graders? I'm not sure.
So they talked about, you know, like a couple of years ago, they talked about pressure being their brand. Are they still that?
Yeah, I think so. Tell me a really bad loss they've had.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I think they've competed pretty well. But I just, when you said, you know, you're not sure what they are.
Yeah.
I just wonder what style they're really playing, because it's not that frenetic pressure that we saw from them at times 2 years ago when we thought they might be climbing into the eight alongside Richmond.
For me, it seems like they're playing a brand of footy that's minimising damage.
Yeah.
That's how they seem to me, and that's never going to regularly win your games of footy. So I'll give a yell out, though, to Bruce last week, because they were gone at quarter time and they came back St Kilda quite nicely. So ultimately they'd lost the game, but it's good effort from him. Only six goals, I think. So
he's a very good player.
And he's on the Giants list, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And he's like he had a lot of early good games for St Kilda, very strong aerialist. And then, of course, the whole thing with Paddy McCartan is, could they play them both?
Mm.
If they're not playing them both, then who misses out and who gets in? And I think they kind of took the long road with Paddy, and Bruce ended up out of the team for significant periods of time. I think he had some injuries as well, which didn't help him. But I like them better with him in that team. He gives them a real target and some real authority and presence ahead of the ball.
If McCartan gets back, let's hope he does, from his concussion issues, they might look at playing him at the other end.
Yeah, I hope he... You just hope they find...
We hope he gets back and play. Well, that's number one. Let's hope he has a healthy future.
Yeah.
Number two, if he can play footy at any level, that's a bonus.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So you're picking Geelong?
I'm picking Geelong.
Yeah, a game clear, and they'll be aware of that too. They're only a game clear now, but a really good percentage Geelong. So they don't lose too often at the Cattery. I don't expect them to this week.
So the wheels would have to absolutely fall off for them to not finish top two.
Yep.
And top two is where you want to be, and for Geelong, if third is a bloody MCG tent, and it doesn't really matter anyway. That's where they're going to end up playing.
Yeah, that's
isn't it?
Right. And they play the G pretty well. So I think there are too many great fears there. On to Sunday, Richmond versus GWS at the MCG. Interestingly here, this hark back to 2017, this point of the season, exactly where Richmond was.
Mm.
So they've got their eyes on the four. Now, we've spoken about how big an absence Rance has been, but they're not far off it, Richmond. They're getting Rewalt back either this week or next. And Cochin's had his three or four back now. I think he was out for a week and back in. So he's building form. Castagna kicked five last week. I think they're going beautifully, Richmond. I think they're building into something. They're going to be a real menace for the remainder of the year. GWS, with Kelly missing now with a calf injury.
And Canelio.
Under a cloud. We should also mention Bobby Hill debuting for GWS this week.
Yeah, what a fantastic young... isn't it interesting? Every year there's a player, and it's often a player from Western Australia or South Australia, they will start the season as a top five draft pick in everyone's mind, and they will not do a hell of a lot wrong. They just won't shoot the lights out during the course of the season, and they'll end up like a second rounder or something like Jack Darling springs to mind.
Mm. Darling with some information put out there by West Coast that is off-field indiscretion. Soiled goods, that one.
Jay Schultz, yes, was another one. Jay Schultz was talked about as the nominal number one draft pick. Ended up going, I think, somewhere in the teens. And it took him a long time to establish himself, but ended up being a very, very good player, as Jack Darling has. I mean, Bobby Hill, that's happened to Bobby Hill. Mm. And it may even be happening as we speak to Jeremy Sharp. So Jeremy Sharp was a member of the State 18's WA team that won the title, was talked about as a top tenner sort of early in the championships. And now for some reason people are saying that he might be drifting. And I've watched a couple of games that he played. I'm not sure what he's done to drift, you know, too far. But it is interesting how that's almost an annual event now.
Oh, yeah. But Bobby Hill, Ian Hill, of course, named after Bob the Builder, his nickname. He was a big fan of Bob the Builder as a kid. Quick, there were big raps for him at Perth, and good luck to him. Let's hope he goes well. Dusty Martin will enjoy this game, because the last time they played, there's no Matt DeBoer, and the last time they played, we know what happened. Matt got under his skin.
Hasn't their season gone south since Matt DeBoer got hurt?
Yeah, it has.
So I cannot tip GWS against Richmond.
Well, not
at the
G either.
No.
One game in recent times there, and they've lost a hell of a lot there, so I can't pick them at the G. Richmond for me.
Yeah, Richmond for me. And I think I think by up to four goals.
Yeah, I'm going to say about 15 points out of respect for GWS, because I still have great respect for their list, but they're an almost premiership team, and they have been for a couple of years now.
And the loser of this doesn't make the top four.
No.
Quarters. So very high stakes.
There are. Western Bulldogs v Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. Melbourne returning. Gawn, Lever, Jetta. So have found some form. But I'm going to stick with the Dogs here. I think their form in recent weeks is... Like North Melbourne, I have trust in Western Bulldogs at the moment. I'm not sure if I have the same trust in Melbourne. I was pretty confident last week, but geez, they made me earn my money, Melbourne. I looked away, they were comfortably winning it, and I looked up, and then I, whoa, did that just happen? You know, they give you a look, Melbourne. But Western Bulldogs, I think I'm confident enough to say they'll win this. With 30 points, I think they'll win this one.
Yeah, the venue. is what decides this one for me. I think the Bulldogs play the venue well, and Melbourne don't play there very often. And that's going to be a key for me. So I think the Bulldogs win, and I think by about 4 goals.
Wrong side of the railway tracks for the D's, Dave.
Oh, it's such a long way from the Melbourne
to
Club,
go down to Spencer Street.
Yes.
Goodness me.
Heaven forbid. I mean, the types you see hanging around that train station, Glenn.
The last time I was there was to go to Festival Hall.
Saw the Easy Beats play at Festival Hall in 1986, Glenn.
I saw Neil Young play at Festival Hall in 1984, and I'm a huge Neil Young fan. I was obsessed with his music at the time, and I'll never forget, came out on stage with no shoes on. I just thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Multi-million dollar rock star and he's got no shoes. That is so cool. Festival Hall, of course, is just around the corner from Marvel Stadium. We digress. We're both picking the Dogs.
I reckon they can win this by about 4 goals.
Yep. Port Adelaide v Brisbane, final game of the round. Really good win by Brisbane over GWS last week. Got that scalp away that we thought they needed to over a possible top four side. Win this, they consolidate in the four. But look, I think, and I say this, Port was really impressive last week, but they have given us a win-loss year. So this is, I want to see them back up last week's performance. I've no reason to feel that they won't, so I'm going to pick Port. But I'm a bit shaky in that prediction because I've seen what they dish up after a good win.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the only reason why I'm not pretty confident about this. I mean, Port's form was extremely strong after halftime against Adelaide. This is in Adelaide. They should be hard to beat in Adelaide.
Doubts over Hipwood too, I think, still.
Yeah, Hipwood had a big knee brace on during the week, so you'd almost expect him
probably look worse than it was.
Not to play. Yeah. Brisbane were great, but second week in a row on the road, which is difficult. Adelaide's a tough place to win at, and Port should be a tough team to play against. So that tells me Port Adelaide wins by about 20 points.
Which means it's a Brisbane win. It's a Port. It's a Port, mate. So no, I'm picking Port too. I think they win by three. I'll go 3 goals here. Brisbane, good side, really good side. They'll finish top six, Brisbane. I won't finish top four.
All right. Well, hopefully we do a bit better than we did last week. Thank you.
How'd you go? How many?
Oh, I didn't even bother counting.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, well, at least you got West Coast.
Yeah, well, whatever I got one more than you.
Yeah, I'm pretty. You got five then.
Or you might have tipped the Hawks to beat the Pies, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. And yeah, I was dark about that one too. But anyway, I'd rather have the win and the no tip. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this week. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll dissect the round and what ramifications emerge out of the round. Hopefully Fremantle will put the talk about Ross Lyon's future to bed, but that will be up to them at Launceston on Saturday. West Coast can dig themselves a big trench and lock themselves in to top two if they win tomorrow night. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.